Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio on a rainy, cloudy, thunder and lightning day in LA, which is why I was late getting to the studio, but I am here now and I am so happy to be here to be able to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, and start getting on with your life, getting to a healthy weight without worrying about food, because it's not what you're eating that is the problem, it's what's eating at you. If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, what's bothering you, because if we can get to that and deal with that, guess what? You won't use food to cope. When you find new ways of coping, you stop using food for that purpose. So last week, I answered a question from Amanda about how to deal with loss without using food. And I got an interesting email from Anonymous, who's from, let's just say, Planet Gmail. So Anonymous writes, "Your discussion of grief eating brought up something that has been eating at me for a long time, as you might say. My father died unexpectedly a few months ago, and while I was dealing with my complicated feelings about this, since we didn't have a great relationship, I also had to deal with people at the funeral who said things that made me want to scream, like, 'He's in a better place now.' I'm still upset about this, and I'm carrying resentment towards these people. I realize that I've been getting upset at myself for overeating when in actuality I'm still upset at those people for their insensitivity. Can you talk about why people say things like this and how to handle it and maybe what else they can say instead?" Anonymous, I get you. I feel you. I totally understand what you're saying. The last thing you want to hear at a funeral is, "He's in a better place now," or, "She's in a better place now." You know what? Anyone who says that has clearly never lost someone who's close to them, because guess what? The only good place is with you among the living. And if they say otherwise, even if they believe that better place is heaven, it's kind of like saying, "Don't be upset. Don't be upset. Be happy for the person who's in heaven. Be happy for the person who's gone." Okay, no, that doesn't work. So a better approach, Anonymous, would be to, share your favorite memory of the person who died. You know, keep the person alive in your heart with memories about his or her life. Now, what about people who say, "I know how you feel"? No, they don't know how you feel. Even if they've lost someone themselves, they don't know how you feel. It's like each of us reacts to guilt and reacts to. By the way, it was storming so hard last night. Thunder and lightning woke me up at 4:22 in the morning, and I never went back to sleep. So I am extremely sleep deprived. Let's hope I can continue to form cogent sentences. But bear with me if I start losing my words. So the way each of us reacts to grief is different. So saying, "I know how you feel," is presumptuous and kind of condescending. Doesn't make anyone feel better is the bottom line. A better thing to say is, "Hey, you know what? I'm here to talk anytime you need to." Or I don't know what to say, but please know that I'm sorry. Never say "I'm sorry for your loss," because that is sort of trite, kind of Hallmark card-like, and it doesn't give anyone a cozy, warm feeling. "Oh, you're sorry for my loss. Oh, gee, that feels so much better." No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, another one that drives me crazy is something that doesn't just get said at funerals. It gets said whenever someone expresses sadness. It's "Don't cry," or "You need to be strong." Really? 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 Strength is the absence of emotion? What? No, no. Guess what? It takes strength to show your emotions. It takes strength to feel your emotions. So if anyone says this to you because you're upset about anything, whether it's a loss or just a bad day or something that you're dealing with that's really making you sad and upset, if anyone tells you, hey, just be strong, ignore them. Ignore them, because whatever it is that is upsetting you needs your attention. It is not strong to not feel feelings. It is strong to feel them. And, you know, just feel what you feel. Don't worry about strength or weakness. Feelings are a sign that you are alive, not a sign that you are weak. They are a sign that you are human. So back to Anonymous's question, why do people say this stuff? Well, first, they're probably genuinely trying to help from their perspective, even if their help is kind of sucky. And they're probably totally freaked out by emotions, which is a problem in our society. How does this relate to binge eating and eating problems? Because if we don't get comfortable with our emotions, we are very vulnerable to using food to escape our emotions, to distract from our emotions, to cope with our emotions, to soothe our emotions. So our society, though, is so terrified of emotions, and we go straight to our heads instead of our hearts. So, look, experiencing sadness, anger, anxiety, and anything else that you might think is quote-unquote negative, it's hard. It is hard to do that. And so a lot of us don't do it. Enter food or some other way of coping. We've been taught that certain emotions, which are often labeled, like I said, are as negative. One person in my support group used to always say, well, I was just being so negative when I told, you know, my boyfriend that I was upset with him. Like, no, you weren't being negative. You were actually responding to a situation and you were trying to, kind of talk it out with him. When you label yourself as being negative, then you're being negative towards yourself. And now you feel bad about how you feel in addition to feeling bad about whatever made you feel that way in the first place. So now you have double bad feeling. Again, if you don't have a way to identify and soothe and cope with those feelings, you are vulnerable to using food to cope. So Why do we learn to do this? Well, you know, maybe when you cried when you were a kid, your parents or a teacher or someone told you not to cry. Maybe they said, I'll give you something to cry about. I have heard that one a lot. I heard that one as a kid. Thanks, Dad. I'll give you something to cry about. Really? maybe someone sent you to a timeout when you cried. Maybe they told you to stop whining. Maybe they told you to be strong. Maybe they also ignored or dismissed their own emotions and did not express them in a healthy, natural way, and therefore did not model that feelings are okay. So if the people around you are dismissing their own feelings, ignoring their own feelings, as well as yours, how do you learn to value what you're feeling? How do you learn to respond to what you're feeling? You don't. You don't. So eating, binging, focusing on food, thinking about what you're going to eat, you know, at dinner when you're at lunch, constantly being preoccupied with food and eating and weight and body image and all of that stuff is a way, can be a way, is usually a way of avoiding other emotions. And when you don't allow yourself to experience feelings, you don't actually feel them. And then they don't just go away. You know, and you learn that you can't tolerate something painful. You think you can't handle it. So we get so scared of these feelings because we think we can't handle them when actually we can. So again, as a culture, we sort of have it backwards. It is not weak to be vulnerable or to have vulnerable feelings. It actually is strength. If you're familiar with Brené Brown, and her books, she talks about that very thing, that to actually be the most alive and human and connected to ourselves and others, we must get in touch with our vulnerability, and that's to get in touch with our feelings. So whatever it is you don't want to feel, it is going to come out another way. And maybe you convert anger over a situation at work or at home, maybe you convert that into anger at yourself because you ate too much blank, fill in the dots, fill in the blanks. Maybe you ate too much cookies, maybe you ate too many carbs, maybe you, whatever it is you think you shouldn't have done, now you're mad at yourself for eating instead of upset at a situation in your life. Or maybe you push away your feelings by stuffing them with so many carbs that you go into a food coma. Often that's what happens. Like we get upset, so we eat a lot of kind of carby things, and it has this sedative effect. And now instead of being all wound up and upset, we're like, oh, I just need to lie down. I just need to sit on the couch and stare at a TV screen. Maybe you get headaches because there are so many things you can't think about because it's painful to think about them. Maybe your stomach hurts because there are emotions that you can't stomach. So again, if you don't feel your emotions, they don't go away. You can't let them go, drop them. You can't positive think them away, work them away, gamble them away, drink them away, stuff them down in any way. The only way to get rid of feelings is to feel them. So, how do you do that? Before I answer how do you feel your feelings, I want to open up the phone lines again. You're welcome to call me. 818-602-4929. If there is anything that is on your mind, you want to talk about your relationship to food, your relationship to yourself, your relationship to other people, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Okay, so how do you feel your feelings? So first of all, notice the physical sensations of your emotions, because emotions are, oh, hold on. Hi there, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina, it's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. I thought I recognized your number, but I'm so sleep deprived, I did not trust myself, and I didn't want to say hi, Nicole, and have it be a completely different person.
So. Okay, don't worry. I know the rain and thunder were so nice. I'm sorry you woke up at 4 in the morning. The worst is when you can't go back to sleep.
Oh, my gosh, it's the worst. Yeah. 4:22.
Oh, no. Aww. I went out to dinner last night, and we're at a restaurant where it's outdoors, but they have, like, that cover thing, and it was just, like, pounding on that, like, cover. I thought it was going to, like, rip, and the rain was just going to pour on us. It was funny.
Yeah. Are we in LA? No, it's okay. We can commiserate, and I'm sure anyone in LA is nodding their heads, and, of
really?
Course, anywhere yeah. else in the world, they're going like, really? You people are upset over a little rain, a little thunder, a little lightning. What's your problem? But for us, it's a big deal.
I know. I wanted to call in today and kind of follow up about what we were chatting about last week.
Yes.
I've just like been thinking, and you told me to think about like what I like about myself, right?
Yes. Yes. Instead of focusing on feeling like a good person because you're able to deny yourself carbs.
Right. That's right. So I spent some time thinking about it. And I think there are a lot of other things that make me a good person, like being a good friend, being a good sister, being a good, like someone people can trust as an accountant. Like I'm like to all my clients, I'm an accountant. I do their taxes and I know they can like trust me and that I'm reliable and I'm there for them. And I'll like, you know, make sure the process is smooth for them. Like a good friend.
Okay. So and what qualities you sort of mentioned some of your qualities when you talked about being a good accountant, you know, reliable, honest, you know, so what qualities make you a good friend?
I guess kindness, nurturing, loving, fun.
Okay.
What else? Thoughtful, caring, empathetic. I don't know.
Okay. Well, You know what? That is so much more interesting than skinny.
I have to tell you something about skinny. So last night, I was on a date, and the guy said to me, "You're so skinny. How are you?" Like, he was talking about how I was so skinny, and I was like, "Wow, that this is just becoming the best day of my life." What a compliment!
Oh no!
I know. I was thinking about it later. I was like, "Oh my God, what's wrong with me?"
Okay, I'm glad you caught yourself.
It was really a great compliment.
Well, no, it's not. A great compliment is you're such a smart person. You're so bright. You're so nice. You're so friendly. You know, you're fun to talk to. That's a great compliment. We got to retrain your brain.
I know. Okay, so what's step one? Step one, you said, is thinking about my qualities, that good qualities that have nothing to do with eating and not and saying no to carbs. Okay, that's step one.
You are not a good, okay, I got to tell you this story. I don't actually remember whether I've told this story before or not. I've told it to other people, but I'm not sure I've told it on the air. I may have, but here's the thing. Before I met my husband, before I met my husband, I went on a lot of dates. And most of them were very nice guys. But one very memorable date was I went out with a guy. And he told me that when he had to go to the bathroom, he played a game with himself and he would not go until the very last second. And the longer he went without giving in to his body and going to the men's room, the longer he went, the better he felt about himself. Now, what do you think about that, Nicole?
I think that's the weirdest thing ever.
Okay, but that's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly the same. And I love that
really?
Because, yes, he's saying, hey, I can deny my natural needs and I have power over my body and I won't go to the men's room. Wow, you're so powerful. You are saying, I feel so good about myself because if I have to eat something, I won't do it. Both are bodily needs, both you feel superior because you can deny it.
You're right. Oh my God. That's crazy. You're right. I'm being weird. Oh my God. What an analogy.
Okay.
That resonates.
It kind of like it's intense, but it kind of like it grabs you because everyone goes, oh my God, like what?
Yeah.
But that's what you're
doing.
No,
you're right.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
He thought he was a better person somehow a better, stronger person because he didn't give in to his body. You are not a better person because you're not giving into your body. Actually, you know, those are signs that you just have to, it's not giving in, it's meeting a need. If you got to go to the bathroom, you got to go. You're hungry, you need to eat.
How about something like chocolate? Like, how about saying no to chocolate sometimes? Like,
it'll be a lot easier
like,
to say
good?
It'll actually be a lot easier to say no to chocolate if you give yourself permission to have chocolate. Otherwise you're setting yourself up for that and anticipation of deprivation.
Right.
If you really think like the women in Spain. In that study I told you guys about, the women in Spain do not see chocolate as some forbidden thing. And that's why they didn't have cravings for it. They didn't have hormonal cravings for chocolate.
But then my fear is, based on that, like if I tell myself you can eat whatever you want, just listen to your body and eat whatever you want, that I'm going to get fat.
No, because if you're really listening to your body, your body does not want you to have an entire box of chocolates. If you're listening your body, you're going to say, like, that one chocolate was really good, or that those two chocolates were really good, and you know what? I'm done.
You're right. Anything in excess is emotional, right? Emotional eating.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're truly listening to your body, then it's, okay, you know, I don't really feel like having dessert, or I kind of want a salad, or gosh, I need some protein or something.
Right.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
But yeah. I want you to focus on, you know, what is it you like about yourself as a person? Like you, this guy right. you were out last night with, you know, would you like him better if he had more muscles, or like him less if he had fewer muscles?
I guess not.
Then why do you think someone would like you better because you're thinner, or that you're worth liking because you're thin?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
You're an accountant.
Thank you.
You're an accountant. You're obviously an educated, smart woman. Own that.
Yeah.
Own that. Okay. Do not okay. think that being skinny is some achievement.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay. Well, it's hard to sort of shift your mindset when you've been indoctrinated as a woman in our American society that, hey, the smaller you are, somehow the better you are, which is just sort of tragic, because that's not what makes us interesting or likable. What makes us interesting and likable is who we are, not what the scale says. Okay, so back to how to get rid of feelings. So remember, feelings, we don't think our feelings, we feel our feelings. So they are physical sensations plus meaning. So first of all, you got to notice, what is the physical sensation? What is the physical manifestation of the feeling that you're having? For example, does your chest feel tight? You know, some people, when they get anxious, they feel like someone is like a fist is like grabbing their insides, or they might have they might feel nauseous or queasy, or sometimes people, they feel their feelings and they get a headache, or they like their hands go cold, or they feel sort of dissociated from themselves, all kinds of things, or shallow breathing, or, you know, there's some kind of physical manifestation of your emotion that you first want to notice. And then you want to, oh, here's another call. Hold on. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Nick. Dr. Nina. This is Nick.
Nick, hello.
Hi. Hello. I was going to tell everybody that I was the guy who I'm on the date with. Never mind.
I hope not. I'm glad that was a joke.
Okay, it was a joke. So this weird thing happened this week. I'm not a Facebook person, and I'm not a lot on a computer. But what I needed a week and a half ago, is a picture I had to send of a that holds my pills, a prescription for it. So it's like I had to take a picture of it and send it to the pharmacy so they would know exactly what I, you know, I had, because they had somehow lost it.
Okay. Got it.
I started getting phone calls yesterday from my two brothers. And they said to me, because they're an advocate for Facebook. He says, "What are you taking that for?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "What are you taking that for?" I said, "What are you talking to me? I have no idea what you're talking about." He said, "Go on Facebook." And I went on Facebook, and one of the pictures right there on Facebook is a picture of the prescription I took. So whoever was going on to my Facebook account
would see what it is. That's really weird. I don't even know how that would happen. So somehow the picture that you sent to the pharmacy ended up on Facebook.
Yes. And my two brothers called. We laughed about it, you know, and so on. And it was really a weird feeling. When I hung up with both my brothers, so I was like, am I really mad? I'm pissed. I'm aggravated. I want to put my fist in the wall. Everybody's going to see I'm a sicko and this and that. And I don't even know that the prescription is a bad thing. But I could have gone that route with being really angry. But instead, I just rolled with it and said, today, I'm going over to Verizon and say, how in the hell did this happen? And get rid of it.
Okay, so you noticed your reaction. You noticed how you might have reacted in the past, and you noticed that you had a different reaction this time.
Right. And in my frustration still, I'm not eating ice cream, which is the good news. The bad news is I'm eating more chips than I did before.
Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? Ice cream is comfort, chips is... crunchy. What is crunchy? Do you remember? Crunchy.
No, I remember.
Okay, so
support with the
anger.
With the
anger. Anything smooth and creamy is associated with a need for comfort. But anything like chips, anything with a chips, pretzels, anything with a crunch and a bite, that is associated with anger. So you've now moved from a need to comfort to an expression of anger.
Oh, I'm so glad I called. it fit right in. And it showed that anger, but I guess I just put my anger towards that and didn't put my fist in the wall.
Yes. So I would like you to express in words. So putting your fist through a wall is also an action rather than an expression in words. Eating is an action. Putting your fist through a wall is an action. Don't want to hurt your fist or the wall. So, I invite you to use some angry words.
Angry words?
Yes, angry words.
Like shit?
Like, I am so mad. I feel so exposed and vulnerable on Facebook. And it really pisses me off that somehow this happened. And I don't know how. And I hate this, right? Talk about how you feel with words. Don't turn them on yourself. I am so frustrated. I'm so angry. I'm furious. I'm enraged.
Pissed.
Okay. I'm so pissed because
I'm so angry.
Because?
Because I eat chips.
No. No. Okay. So actually that was beautiful, Nick, because what you just did was that's what I call the boomerang effect, right? You're really mad at the situation with Facebook, however it happened, right?
Right.
And maybe some other things in your life, I'm guessing. So you're really mad, but let's just say the Facebook situation. You're really mad about that. But instead of saying, I'm really mad about that, I don't know how it happened, helpless, no control, no power.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but I am really furious that this is what happened. Instead of that, which is sort of like a frisbee feeling, you send it out. Instead, it's a boomerang feeling. I'm so mad at myself because I ate chips, right? That's when you start turning it on yourself. The feeling, instead of expressing it outward, you boomerang it back. It comes right back at you. And then now, instead of being mad at the situation, you're mad at yourself. And now you feel bad about yourself. And I'll tell you, it is impossible to be mad at yourself for eating chips and simultaneously comfort and reassure yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you find yourself getting mad at yourself for what you are eating or what you ate or what you weigh,
what?
I want you to take a moment and think, okay, if I were not mad at myself for eating X, or think or for weighing why, I would be mad at what? What situation or people would you be upset with if you couldn't be upset at yourself?
People around me.
Okay.
I mean, that's, you know, it's, you say that and you eat the chips, but somehow you gain the weight with it. I'm going to throw this in for a little bit, and I feel like I put on some weight.
I got to stop you. I got to stop you. You're doing it again.
I know.
You're doing it again. So see how easy it is to fall into that trap of you started to say you were mad at some people in your life. And then almost immediately you went back to attacking yourself. Now, this is a coping mechanism because you don't want to be mad at the people in your life. You have some anxiety about being mad at the people of your in your life, which is very normal. No, I don't think very many of us are like, ooh, I'm mad at my friends and my family. Woohoo. No, no, no. But so it's very normal. But instead of just saying, you know what? It's a natural, normal thing. Something is happening. I'm upset with them, whoever them is. You immediately go to attacking yourself. And your weapon of attacking is food and weight.
Yeah. Chips and weight. Definitely.
So I want to challenge you a little bit. Are you up for a little challenge, Nick?
I hope so.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
It's been so great so far.
Okay. So I want to challenge you to just talk a little bit about who you're upset with. You know, I mean, you could change their names or their identities, whatever. You can talk about whatever's upsetting you without then turning back on food and weight.
Well, the obvious one, as I talk about, is my son.
Yes.
And, I mean, he's out of my life now because I cut him off and I'm not receiving any texts from him. And that's one for sure that I know that I do that. I mean, I'm even aware of that during a day I might say, you know, I really feel good that I'm not having to deal with Ryan today. And that makes me feel good.
Okay, good.
Am I getting closer at all? I got my daughter frustrates the hell out of me. Things are getting better, but they frustrate me. And I'm going through a change of trying to find a new apartment. And that's really frustrating. And it's I got a lot of things that are kind of bothering me here.
Yes.
That I would definitely eat the chips for. Definitely eat the chips because I'm angry with those people, you know, and it's not fun. But I eat chips before it was ice cream.
So
now I brought up that thing about gaining weight, which I shouldn't bring up here, but.
I got to do that. No. Okay. So I just want to point out to you again, you talked about your son, you started to talk about your daughter, then you started to talk about apartment hunting and then you went back. So you did it a little bit longer. You stayed with your feelings a little bit longer before you turned on yourself. But you can see how quickly you do that, how quickly you turn from a situation and people that are not you that you feel upset with. And then you just target yourself and now you're not talking about those people and that situation. So I want to just, you know, challenge you to be aware of this, you know, and then make more and more space between I feel mad at this. Oh no, I feel mad at myself because I ate this.
Yeah.
Because that's how you express the feelings. You don't express the feelings when you target yourself. It's like a fountain that just recycles the water. You're just recycling feelings, and they don't go anywhere. Except they hurt you, and then you eat over them, and then you feel bad. Right. So it's not good.
Yeah, well, I wonder, I don't see a cure.
I have the cure. With your son. The cure is to honor what you feel and take care of yourself. He may not change, but you have changed. You've set a boundary. You've said, I must be treated with respect. If not, you're not in my life. It's up to him whether he's going to come around or not. But that's you taking care of yourself. And it's unfortunate that it had to get to that point, but sometimes that's what has to happen. But
I just want to add two things. One, it wouldn't surprise me if my son, who's on the computer, set that pill bottle in Facebook. It went through my mind.
Does he have access to your? Does he have access to your phone?
Not that I know of, no. And I also have that he can't call me. But I just had this thing in the back here that he might do something, you know. And so I don't know if it's true. I can't get crazy with it, but it did make me think about it.
And that's upsetting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
very upsetting.
And it's easier for you to be upset at yourself for eating chips because, you know, supposedly you can stop eating chips than it is to be upset with your son who you are helpless to change. And he is very provocative from what you've shared and difficult. So more compassion for why you're eating chips, less beating yourself up for that you're eating chips. And then you focus on what's bothering you instead of, you know, focusing on food. How about you give it a try this week?
Thank you.
Practice it. Call me back
next
week.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
I said last week, I believe, but I wanted to tell you that we talked about this Oxnard thing, and I got rid of that.
Okay.
You really remember that? But okay.
You're taking care of yourself. You're doing what's right for you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Good. Well, I am.
All right.
Wait a minute. You know, I used the buzzer sound, so you know what? For that, you get. You get the applause for that one.
Oh, thank
good
you,
for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Nick. Let me know how it goes.
I will. Okay. I will.
Bye for now. Bye. Yeah, you know, when we have a lot of practice in attacking ourselves when we feel something, it just becomes automatic. And that's why really recognizing, well, you know, if I were not upset at myself for eating XYZ, who or what would I be upset with? And often we don't want to know the answer to that. We do not want to know what we're upset at because it makes us uncomfortable to be upset with someone we maybe love or someone we can't do anything about, or you know, you name it. So it just makes it easier to turn against ourselves, but then we're locked into a really sort of an abusive, self-abandoning stance with ourselves. How are we doing on time? Okay, about 5-6 more minutes. So let's keep talking about, you know, how do you feel your feelings? So first you notice what it is that's physical. By the way, if anyone else wants to have a quick call, 818-602-4929. Have a few minutes to chat. Give me a call. So first you notice the physical sensations. Then you name the feeling. And most feelings can be distilled into these four: mad, sad, glad, and afraid. Mad, sad, glad, and afraid. Almost every feeling is some form of that. For example, you know, anxiety is a form of fear. Joy is a form of glad. Irritated is a form of mad, and so on. So the more that you can kind of identify what it is you're feeling, because often we just feel something uncomfortable in our, we feel the physical feeling, and we just want to get rid of it right away because it's so uncomfortable. And then when you don't allow yourself to feel what you feel, any feeling can feel overwhelming. And you want to be able to say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most intense feeling that I've ever felt of this feeling, so let's take anger, 10 being rage. If on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is rage and 1 is annoyed, what am I feeling? Is that a 1? Is that a 3? Am I irritated? Am I frustrated? Am I, you know, whatever it is, am I angry? Start gauging the intensity of it on a scale of 1 to 10, because it'll get easier. But what happens when we deny our feelings, or we just want to get rid of our feelings, is we get a little annoyed, which is a relatively minor form of anger. We get a little annoyed, but it feels almost like we're enraged, because any feeling is too scary. And so quick, distract. What's in the fridge? What's in the, you know, the drive-thru? What's in the pantry? Let me go out. Let me get away from this feeling. The more that you can identify it and then gauge it, the easier it's going to be. Helps you identify it and tolerate it. The other thing to do is to get really curious about what makes you feel what. Does that make sense? What makes you feel what when? Okay, let me break that down, because that kind of made no sense to me. So notice what you're feeling most often. Like, do you notice that you often respond with anger, but you never respond with sadness? Do you often respond with sadness, but you never really get mad? So if you never get angry, that is something to explore. If everything gets converted to sadness, that is something to explore too. What's so scary about sadness if you can't feel it? What's so scary about anger if you never feel that? So you want to really examine your ideas about some of these feelings. And look at where you got these ideas. Like, where did you learn that feelings are scary? Were you actually told, hey, I'll give you something to cry about, and learn, oh, I better not cry, because then I'm going to get hit. I'm going to get spanked because I'm crying. Crying is bad. So, you know, where did you learn it? Where did you learn that anger is bad? Often women, girls are told, oh, that's not nice. It's not nice to be angry. You know, and they get, women, girls get comforted when they're sad. But when they're mad, it's like, oh, don't be mad. That's not very appropriate. And the same thing with guys. Boys are told, you know, hey, man up, butch up, be a man. Boys don't cry. But if you're mad, oh yeah, sure, go ahead, kick something. That's fine. So examine where your ideas about the feelings that you least want to feel, where they come from. And also try using some more emotional words in your daily vocabulary. Like, for example, if you're talking to your friend and she's telling you that she had a fight with her husband, you know, maybe you'd say, like, oh, I'm so sorry you had a fight with your husband. That sucks. Maybe that's how you'd normally respond. There's nothing wrong with that. But maybe you could say, hey, you know, I'm really sorry you had a fight with your husband. That sounds really upsetting. Like, it sounds like that made you feel really mad and, like, hurt. And, like, start using emotional vocabulary. And it gets easier, because when you're talking to other people and using emotional vocabulary with them, then it becomes easier for you to do it with yourself. And the more that you can identify and process and name, name is identify, there's my sleeplessness going again, but the more that you can get comfortable with your feelings, the less likely you're going to use food to escape them or numb out with food or cope with food in some way. You know, feeling our feelings is not easy. That's the truth. It is not easy to feel our feelings. It is much easier to dismiss them, to be strong. Oh, I'm not going to feel my feelings. It's easier to express them by turning against yourself, as Nick showed us, right? It was so easy for him to attack himself. It was very hard for him to feel those feelings about other people in his life. It is much easier to focus on what you're eating than on what feelings are eating at you. But with time, it gets easier and easier to feel those feelings, because it may be easier to attack yourself, but the cost to yourself is too high. When you go through life feeling bad about yourself, feeling bad, attacking yourself, not having an adversarial relationship to yourself, that's not good. Then you're not living, you're existing. You don't want to exist, you want to live. We are here to live and to live fully and to experience the range of what life is. And sometimes that is messy. So honor your feelings, because if you tamp down the difficult feelings, let me tell you, you will be tamping down the good feelings, the joy, the happiness, the exhilaration, the pride. When you don't let yourself feel mad, sad, or afraid, you're really not going to fully feel the joy and the happiness. And I want you to feel all that range of what it is to be human. So be glad you are a human being alive on this planet, and start feeling your feelings. Remember, practice makes progress. And that is our show for today. So thank you for joining me here today on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, and I am always so glad to spend this hour with you. If you like the show, please take a moment to write a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find it under the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts, and you can listen to the show wherever you find podcasts. Thank you so much, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.